You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Today, I want to start a series called Believe. Will you just say it with me? Believe. Because it's so important that we get this concept of faith in our hearts and in our spirits. Because God wants to do some powerful things through us. God wants to do some powerful things upon the earth. But we have to believe. Will you just say it one more time? Believe. And I want to start this series off by taking a look at some of the moments that we've fallen short. You know, there's some points in the Bible that we see Jesus talking to the disciples and saying, "You of little faith." They went through a situation, there was a circumstance, there was an opportunity, and the response, the correction was to the disciples, "You of little faith." And so us as disciples, we have to ask ourselves, you know, are there different areas in our life that the Lord would look at us and say, "There's little faith in that area. You need to grow in faith in that area." And so this is why this series is so important to me, because I believe that God is sounding a call to his body to have greater faith, to have greater belief in what his promise is. And as we heard, we're talking about his promise still standing. And so turn to somebody and say, "Believe." Jesus was constantly challenging his disciples to believe. When I was about 22, I had just bought this beautiful keyboard. I don't know, maybe you're probably not into it like I'm into it, but it was this beautiful silver keyboard. I had saved up my money. It was the most expensive keyboard I had ever bought. It had touch screen. You could sample on it, Johnny. You could sequence on it. Do all kinds of stuff, thousands of sounds on this keyboard. It was one of the cutting edge keyboards at the time. And I enjoyed it. I played it in church. I wrote songs on it. But not long after I'd had it for a little while, the Lord asked me to give it away to somebody. Believe that? Like the Lord asked you to give something precious away, right? And so I remember it like it was yesterday. We were in a prayer service and God said, "I want you to give your keyboard to that man over there, that young man." And so I was obedient. I did it. And I want to tell you that God will test your faith just like Abraham, because God wants to grow your faith. He'll test your faith because he wants to grow your faith, because the power of faith is amazing. He wants it active in our lives as believers. The sheer magnitude of what Jesus said was possible really will blow your mind if you step back and think about it. Mark 11, 22, 23, it says that Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, you may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart." That is the power of faith. That's the power of speaking things into existence. That's the power of changing things, of when the power of God is entrusted to men. It's faith. And Jesus went on to say, "Greater things are you going to do than I even did." The scripture says that all things are possible for those that believe. Just say it to somebody. Look at somebody and say, "Believe." Speak it to somebody like you're telling them, commanding them, believe. This is important. This is so important for us as believers to believe. Can you imagine that, being a believer without believing? But the truth is, the devil is out to destroy your faith. Because the enemy understands, even if you don't understand how powerful your faith is, the enemy understands it. And he doesn't want you to have the authority to move mountains, to cast out spirits, to heal and be healed. Amen. He doesn't want to see you have the authority to prosper. And so the devil will do anything in his power to undermine your faith. That's what he wants to do. He wants to undermine your faith position. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your faith. And one of the ways he does this is with sowing seeds of doubt. You just say that with me, seeds of doubt. Because this is what it is. It's oftentimes not just an out front in your face attack. It's these little foxes. It's these little seeds of doubt that happen. And we see this in the introduction of when we see the devil for the first time in the Bible. What does he do? He comes to Eve and he just sows a few seeds of doubt. You know, Eve wasn't even thinking about the possibility of disobeying God at that point. That was interjected. That thought was interjected by the enemy. So he interjected seeds of doubt into Eve's mind. Things like, did God really say that? Just a question. Just a little seed. Is God really being honest? This is essentially what the devil was asking. Can God really be trusted? Just a few little questions to stir up doubt. How many times in your life has the enemy given a little question here, a little thought there, to stir up seeds of doubt to undermine your faith, therefore undermining your authority and effectiveness as a believer? Seeds of doubt. As we're introduced to this character, we see on a broader scale, God establishes a thing. God establishes a person in Adam and then Eve. God blesses the person, blesses the family. God gives instructions for the person to prosper, to do well. The person must now just believe and obey. Then the devil enters in to this perfect arrangement that God has prepared and sows seeds of doubt. Can I tell you, this is what the devil still does. He still works like this. In our society, he works like this. In our culture, he works like this. Think about this. The devil is still telling our society, is that really what God said? You've heard this question. Questioning the integrity of the scripture. Is it really accurate? Did they lose something in the translation? Is that really what God said? The same question in the garden. Did he really say it like that? And maybe you've heard, is God being honest? Can God be trusted? Our culture has raised the question. The enemy has sowed seeds to question the character, the integrity of God. Our society has raised the question and even taken it a step further and said, well, does God really exist? Was Jesus really actually a person? Or is it a story? Seeds of doubt. Just little questions. Just little questions. Just little thoughts to undermine faith. The devil sows seeds of doubt into our society and our culture. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can I take it a step further? Without faith, you can't even come to Christ. It takes faith to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is my Savior. And I trust him as my Lord. You see, that's belief. If you don't have belief, if you don't have faith, you cannot even trust in God. You cannot even come to Christ. And so this is what the enemy wants to take away. This is what the enemy wants to sow seeds of doubt into the culture so it further separates people from that possibility of salvation. This is the work of the enemy. Without faith, we cannot enter into his kingdom. Faith is like a key to enter into a whole new world. We have to have the key of faith. Faith is important. And it's important that we grow in our faith, that we continue to put more faith in us. Take you to the story of the children of Israel. They crossed the Red Sea, but still, how many times did they doubt? How many times did they doubt even after God had done miraculous things? Firsthand, they saw the 10 plagues of Egypt. Firsthand, God split the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land. They see miracles. They see water coming out of rocks. They see themselves fed manna. They don't know where it came from, but it feeds them and it nourishes them. But still, they have doubts. Why? Because if you don't continue to feed faith in your life, you can get lost, just like the children of Israel. If you don't continue to feed your faith, you will end up lost again. These children of Israel, they were saved by the grace of God. Are you following me so far? They were saved by grace. They were saved out of Egypt. They were saved out of the hand of Pharaoh by the grace of God. But they still ended up lost again. Why? Because they did not feed faith in their lives. In Matthew 17:14, there's this story where Jesus ends up rebuking the Pharisees or correcting the disciples, rather. It says, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, so I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus said, just as a general statement, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus wasn't upset about the request to heal somebody. Jesus' heart was to heal, but he was so frustrated at that point by a general lack of faith, not just in the disciples, but in everybody, in the crowd. Then Jesus rebuked the demon and the boy and it left him. From that moment on, the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciple asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast the demon out? You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you have faith even small as a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, move, and it would be moved, and nothing would be impossible. Can I tell you that Jesus is calling us to greater things? That's what Jesus was doing in this scripture with the disciples. He was calling them to greater things. Can I tell you that God is calling you to greater things? It's not just about what the pastor can do. It's about what the people of God can do. It's not just can the pastor heal somebody. It's can you lay your hands on that family member that's sick. God wants to enlarge your faith, enlarge your territory, that you can walk in authority. So God is challenging all of us to greater faith. There's areas he's challenging me. There's areas there's challenging you. He's challenging us in faith. Because God will give great opportunities, great moments for us to touch people, to walk through great doors. But the last thing that you're going to want to hear when that great moment happens is, you have little faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear you have little faith. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And this is important because if we look at this next story, there are storms. It says in Mark 4:35, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's go and cross over to the other side. And so Jesus lays down. He starts taking a nap. But the storm breaks out on the ship, right? And it's so much so that it scares the sailors. When a storm scares the sailors, it's a pretty bad storm, right? And so they wake Jesus up abruptly. And maybe that's why Jesus is grumpy. They wake Jesus up and they say, Jesus, we're going to die. We're going to die. Don't you care that we're going to die? Get up. And Jesus is upset that they woke him up from his nap. No, I'm just kidding. He woke up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, silent, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm and he asked them, why are you afraid? Listen, do you still have no faith? Can you see these are the ones that we're walking, we're learning directly from Jesus, and Jesus is rebuking them saying, do you still have no faith? Sometimes we go through storms and instead of stepping up with faith like Jesus did, we respond like the disciples did. Our focus is on the circumstance. Our focus is on the problem. Our focus is on the issue. Our focus is on worry. Our focus is on emotions. But Jesus wants for us to have the type of focus that our focus, our eyes are on Jesus. Our focus is on faith, that we step up in faith. Jesus wants us to exercise our faith so that we are, when we are in the storm, that's not complete. When we are in the storm, we step up. God wants us to step up in our faith. Can we stand up and speak the word of God to the storm? Can I tell you, that's what happens with many problems that we see in the world today. Many problems that arise in our own life or in our family. We focus on the problem and not the solution. We focus on the storm and not Jesus. And so we become like the disciples. We still love the Lord. We still follow the Lord, but we have no faith. Faith moves the mountain. Faith calms the storm. Faith brings the healing. Faith causes doors to open. Focusing on the problem, being concerned about the problem, worrying, being anxious doesn't fix the problem. That the problem is answered by focusing on Jesus. I'm going to say this at risk of sounding preachy to you today, but we have to learn once again to focus on Jesus. The answer is still Jesus. 2,000 years later, the answer is still Jesus. Look at somebody and say, the answer is still Jesus. Can I tell you that 2,000 years ago, all these same type problems were going on. People were crippled. People were having problems with the government. People were having physical problems. People were having family problems, right? Family problems. Woman caught in the act of adultery. Family problems, right? Blind eyes. Physical problems. Roman government. Government problems, right? And Jesus said, believe in me. That's the answer. When he pulled the crippled man up, he said, believe in me. When he spoke to the blind person, he said, the answer is believe in me. When there was a demon-possessed person, he said, believe in me. You've got problems with the Roman government? Believe in me. Jesus said, the answer is believe in me. Faith in Jesus. And you know that people 2,000 years ago, when he first started coming with that, they said, come on, man. The answer isn't a sermon. The answer isn't faith. That's not the answer to the problem with the government. We got to rally people. We got to go have an insurrection. We got to get political. Jesus said, no. Believe in me. This problem, that problem, the next problem, problem after problem, Jesus said, here's the answer. Believe in me. Look at somebody and say, believe. I believe. Answer to whatever's going on in your finances, your family, your health, that door that needs to open, that mountain that needs to move, is still Jesus. Still faith in Jesus. Still increasing your faith. Look at somebody say, more faith. You know, there's a point when Jesus said, you have little faith. And there's a point that we begin to ask ourselves, okay, well, Pastor Josh, you said maybe we're lacking in faith in some areas. Well, how do we get more faith? How do we grow in our faith? How do we do that? How do we do that? Look at somebody and say, how do we do that? More faith. I know you're sitting there and saying, there's some people in my life that need to get healed. There's some people in my life that need to get delivered. I know that thing is a demon. Nobody could be that mean. Amen. You got that family member. How do we get more faith? This is what Scripture tells us in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Can I tell you? Worship accomplishes something. Prayer accomplishes something. But the Word of God accomplishes faith in your life. If you need to grow in faith, you need to get into the Word of God. I'm not saying that you haven't read your Scriptures. I'm just saying that you need to get deeper into the Word of God. You need to get more full of the Word of God if you want to have more faith in the Word of God. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. That's why you need to come every week to hear preaching, because preaching comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Some people wonder why they're lacking in faith. It's because they're not putting enough of the Word of God in. That's what Romans 10:17 says, that faith comes from hearing the Word of God, or the good news of Jesus. We have to be reminded of the promises. That's why I said, look, let's pick some songs. Let's sing about faith. Let's get our mind fixed on faith. Let's get it fixed back on Jesus. Say, His promise still stands. He's moved mountains before, and I know He's going to do it again. I know this is what His promise still stands. If there was ever a time in the church, not just our church, in the church, the body of Christ, that faith is needed, it's today. Too many times, too often, Christians become unbelieving believers. They believe just enough. They believe enough for salvation, but they don't believe enough for their healing. They believe enough that they're going to heaven, but they don't believe enough that God can bless them financially. They believe enough that God is going to see them through, but they don't believe enough that God will make them more than a conqueror. You see, that takes more faith. It takes more faith to say, He's going to do it again. He's going to move some mountains. He's made me more than a conqueror. Nothing is impossible with Christ Jesus. Because we live in a society that is constantly nibbling at your faith, constantly trying to undermine what you believe in, you have to continue to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the Word to be strong, because there's lots of voices. You got to make sure this is the strongest voice. I'm putting the Word of God in my spirit. I'm daily refreshing the Word of God. I'm getting myself strong. I'm getting myself built back up in my holy faith so I can stand and I can speak to storms that are going in my life. I can speak to mountains and authorities that have raised up against me, and I can say, move, and they got to move out of the way. The Bible says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? This was important enough for it to be in the Word. It's a question. It's a question for us as a church. It's a question for the body of Christ. It's a question for us to ponder. It says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? Will you bow your heads with me today? Or rather, just stand. Grab somebody by the hand. This is a confession of where we want God to take us. That God will do again the great things that He's done before. Blind eyes will open. The deaf will speak. The barren womb will conceive. Lord, we thank You, God, that You would Stir up more faith in us. Stir up more faith in us. God, I thank you for what you've done before. God, we want to see it again. We want to see it again. We want to see it again. We want to see the greater things that you have for us. So God, over this course of time, Lord, as we're putting the Word of God, as we're watering the Word of God in our life, God, I pray that we would have more faith. I speak faith over your people today. Faith over your people today. As we're speaking the Word of God, I speak faith on their families. Faith on their personal walk with Christ. Faith, God, wherever they go, that they will put their foot and they will take dominion and they will know that they are a child of God. They will know their identity in you because they believe.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.